morning. You can't tell, but I'm smiling. I was going to say what he said. I do want to talk about changes. This is one of them. You know, it just seems like ever since I thought of this topic, things have been just... Thursday, I was coughing. And I finally called. I got some medicine. She said she thinks it's a virus. I don't know how contagious I was, I am, but I just want to be really safe. So I appreciate the energy, and virtual hugs are also very appreciated. So anyway, I'm happy to be here with you today. This is an interesting topic, isn't it? Change? Yes. There's so much changing. More, in my experience, it just seems like everything is changing in the world, almost. And it's kind of hard to keep your equilibrium. It is for me. It is said that the only constant is change. And there's a lot of truth to that. The things that are eternal are those things within us, our souls, energy, all of that. The rest of it is all tangible, changeable, sometimes fleeting. Have you noticed that sometimes there are some people who seem to just float through change, seemingly without any effort, and then there are others who are just devastated by the least little thing that comes along, right? If you see, you know, I've known both, and sometimes I've been both. You know, it depends on how close it is to me, I think, sometimes. And I thought about that. We deal with change constantly. I mean, every day, sometimes even moment by moment. This was a surprise. Of course, my work schedule changed because I wasn't there. All kinds of things are changing. How many of you would say that you love change? Anybody? No, I see.
If I don't like what is, yeah. I want it to change. If I don't like what's going on, I want it to change. But if I like it, I don't want it to change.
Yes, yes. Anybody hate change? No, I'm kind of in the middle. I mean, you know, there are things that I like. It seems to me, this is a lot of, you know, Sarah's doing this, yeah, a lot of it depends. Yeah. I think our response to change is a lot like the uniqueness of each one of us. How could it not be, you know? Because we each have our own individual experiences, we have our own values and beliefs and skills and talents. We are each individuals. So something comes along, there's a good chance I'll respond differently to it than Karen will. Mm-hmm. Neither one of us is right or wrong, it just is. What isn't quite as just is labeling change, whether it's good or bad. Yeah. There's a saying also, this is what we resist persists. You notice that? I have, disappointingly so. Story. Many, many years ago, decades ago, I had gone to work. I was very upset. My husband had, at the time, had been out very, very late, 3 o'clock in the morning the night before, and I was very upset. I went into work. I was programming at the phone company at the time and trying to get my mind on what I was supposed to be doing. My supervisor walked by, and then she backed up. And she looked at me and she said, "Are you all right?" Well, all it takes is about this much sympathy if you're right there. And I'm like, "No, I'm not." So she came in and she sat down and I spilled it all. You know, oh my God, what if he's seen someone else? And, you know, rah, 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 rah. And then she looked at me and she said, "What if he is?" Took me aback. I mean, really, it was sort of like, oh. And I started, for the first time, thinking about, wasn't resisting it, you know, wasn't trying to make it like, this can't happen, was like, what if he is? It was my first experience with a dose of reality dealing with what is. And I think that's what we want to have, the ability to deal with what is in a clear way, in a centered way. And sometimes it's not always easy to get to that place. I was able to attend a workshop. Sorry, I keep forgetting about the camera. A workshop. It was in Oklahoma. A man named Greg Bear was the keynote speaker over several days. He was speaking about his book called Real Love, which is also another, real love is the same as unconditional love. And so this whole book, and in fact, much of his life's work at that point, was involved in teaching people to use real love and all kinds of things. He had real love for parents, real love for, you know, all kinds of offshoots of his book. And a lot of what he said made total sense. It's simple, not easy, but he had a great analogy, I think, and this dealing with what is. In his book, he talks about speaking with a wife, a young wife, and she was really unhappy with her husband, and she was complaining about how the man could never hang anything up. You know, whatever, when he took his clothes off, he would just drop them on the floor. If he took a shower, towels on the floor, shaving, whatever, it was a mess in the bathroom. You know, he just such a slob, you know. So he said, Greg Bear said to her, was he like this before you married him? Well, yeah, but I thought I could help teach him, you know, to hang up his towels and stuff. So he said, well, there are three things you can do. The guy's a pig, right? She said, yes. He said, well, you have three options. One is to live with the pig and hate it, which you're doing now. The second is to live with the pig and love it, or leave the pig. I think she was very surprised. It was kind of like, what if he is? Dealing with what is. Which tells me we are unique in our experiences of change, and I think we have an ability to choose how we are going to deal with change. Dealing with what is the way we want to do, and sometimes it's not easy to get to that, you know, because there's all this emotion around it. The more, though, we struggle with the emotion part of it, the more we're going to suffer, and nothing really changes. Now, lots is changing these days in our world, everywhere, and sometimes it can feel overwhelming, right? We can experience fear, anxiety, stress easily on any number of these things that's going on. I saw a picture that reminded me of those emotions in social media. It was a picture of one of those old-time merry-go-rounds. I mean, I go way back, so on the playgrounds. You remember those? Yeah. Anybody there? They have like bars, and you grab onto the bar and you run like crazy around, you know, to get it going faster, and then you have to hop on, and you're good. If you fall, though, so you're gonna get stepped on. Maybe hard. You're up there. Okay. Whew. Now you can experience the exhilaration of being on the merry-go-round. Before that, there was fear, anxiety, and stress about being able to get up on the merry-go-round. When it's time to get off, it's also stressful and fearful and anxious. Because you had to get down to the bar, position yourself so that you could grab hold of one of those bars, and then hit the ground running. So, and then you're off. You remember? Or my deepest fear, never happened and I never saw it, but my fear was that I would get flung off somewhere. Just, so these changes, sometimes that we're experiencing these changes, and there is fear and there is anxiety and stress, and sometimes there is an exhilaration and an excitement aspect of it too. So on some of the changes, I think when I'm in my emotions, wringing my hands about, oh my God, what if you're seeing somebody? You know, when I am there, nothing productive is going to happen. So I need a way to get myself out of that emotional state and into a place where I can deal with what is. And one of the things that has helped me the most is Bible verses. There are some that are just particularly important to me and will almost every single time pull me out of my emotion and bring me back to that place of knowing. Because what do we know? We know that we are children created by God, or whatever you want to call that supreme power. We have within us the power and the presence and the ability to deal with anything, to deal with what is. But we forget. We forget. We need to get back. So I want to share three verses that will do that for me, and maybe they'll be helpful for you. You may have a whole different way of remembering, getting back to the truth of who we are. The first one has been a favorite for a long time. It is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Mm-hmm. And right, we know that Christ within. And this reminds me that I'm not out here by myself trying to do anything, all these things or anything. There is a Christ within me who strengthens me, who gives me what I need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The second one is one that I've also liked for a long time, and it has to do with peace. In John 14:27, Jesus had said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives." This one reminds me that even though there is chaos swirling around me, the truth of my being is that I am peace. Not just peaceful. I am peace. That's the truth. I am love, and that's the truth. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. It's a promise. It's there. It's already there. So this helps me get back to that place. Oh, that's right. That's right. I am peace. And the third one, I have to credit Bernetta for this one. She is such a treasure. Her consciousness is amazing. She had done a closing prayer at something that we had done on Zoom, and I remembered this scripture, but I didn't write it down at the time, and then I was trying to remember, what was it she said that was just so good? And it helped me so much. And then I asked her, when we got together for lunch one day, and I said, "Do you remember that prayer?" And she went, "What?" No. So I kind of started describing it, and then she said, "Oh, I know what you're talking about." And it is Romans 8:28. It says, "All things work together for good for those who love God." Mm-hmm. All things work together for good for those who love God. Who we come here each week to remember the truth of our being. We love this presence. We love being, as best we know how, that Christ in expression. All things work together for good. As long as I am centered in that awareness of this power and presence, I can trust. I don't have to fix things. I don't have to manage things. I don't have to direct or supervise anything. all things work together for good because God's in charge. God is everywhere present. This one helps me remember that. So this is my little arsenal that I carry around with me these days. And it has been very, very helpful. Sometimes I have to refer to these several times a day, depending on what the news has on me. But it always, always brings me back to a better place. I can't say that every time I do that, I am exuding peace from every pore of my body, but I am way more peaceful than I was when I started. You know, it helps. It helps tremendously. Just like that pig thing, you can hate it, you can love it, or you can leave it. Once we get out of our emotions and get back to this realization of the truth of who and what we are, we have the ability then to be Christ-centered and consider what is mine to do. And I think that's unique for each of us too. Maybe we're inspired to write letters to Congress people. Maybe we are inspired to, I saw something on Facebook, I think this morning someone was looking for if there were going to be any protests, a place to join, you know. So what is ours to do? We can determine that when we are settled, when we are peaceful, when we are present. There is lots changing these days, lots and lots and lots, but we don't always have to be reactive and upset. We can do that, I mean, it's almost inevitable that we're going to get upset sometimes, but we don't need to stay there. Once we can get ourselves settled, then we can decide if there's anything that we can do to affect the change, to influence the effect or the impact of the change. What is ours to do? And then lean into that, knowing that that indwelling power and presence is fueling it, and it's much more powerful than it was just Sharon who's doing it. We remember, once again, we remember that we are here in this lifetime, gathered here today and every day, we are here to best express the Christ of us as love, as peace, as wisdom, as understanding, as strength, as joy, any and all of these attributes that we attribute to God, we have access to those and we can express those as we lean into our true selves. And we are grateful. God bless you. Let's take this opportunity to remember what Jesus taught us. So as we prepare to go into meditation, let's take a few moments to repeat and affirm the prayer, the Lord's Prayer that he gave us. So together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So let's take this opportunity to become still. If you're comfortable doing so, let your outer eyes close. And take a deep breath in, allowing that breath to open your mind and your heart, and to release and let go of any tension or concern or fear that you may have come in with. Right here, right now, you are in the spiritual family. It is safe here. You are loved. And you are never alone. But we are now all joined as one, as we know and live and experience these truths. It is true, I believe, with my whole being, that we are capable of so much more than we think that we are. When we team up with that presence and power. And so I call on that power this morning for myself and for each of you. As we're moving through the world and the events, to have that radiance of peace, of love, and we begin to embody that right now. Imagine that you could go within to that heart center, and if you were a tiny little being looking, you would see, or maybe just be enveloped in such an overwhelming power of love. This is your truth. Love is, the song says, love is all there is, and to a large extent that is very true. If you have love, you have everything. Love is nourishing, rejuvenating, re-energizing, creative. And love will reside in and as you, in as unique a way as you are. Your being, your expression of that love will not only benefit you as you move through life and are better able to navigate change, but it will benefit everyone that is around you. As you model this love, others see that and they decide, I want that. And they can discover for themselves that sacred space within them, that power, that presence. And so on this day, this February 2nd, we sit here and we know how powerful we are. We know the truth of ourselves and we choose to remember every opportunity that we can. We allow ourselves to consider that as we notice that we're upset, as we notice that our emotions are kicking in, that we can take a breath. And we let that love shine. And our way will be made visible, will be shown. Another beautiful thing about being together, about being church family, we can support each other. Because sometimes when I'm really upset, it's really hard for me to even think about looking at a verse. But I have friends here that I can call and say, would you pray for me? Pray with me for a moment. Would you say a verse with me? We can support each other, we can love each other. And that is such a gift. So let's take a few moments now in silence as we consider change, as we consider the truth of our beings, and as we consider navigating life going forward. as the Christ in expression, in the silence. As we begin to bring our attention back into this room, we may well notice a sense of well-being. You may find yourself smiling. We are here for a purpose, a reason we may or may not know it. It doesn't matter. But what we do know is that we can be the best that we can be with what we've got. And we've got a lot. So in this contemplation time, this together time, this quiet time, in deep, deep love, and in deep, deep gratitude for all of this good, all of this awareness, for all of the possibilities that are ahead of us, and the ways that we can be Christ in expression to make a difference in the world. We are so grateful, and we simply say thank you, thank you, thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.